Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. True spiritual liberty, that's the title of this message. True spiritual liberty is the pursuit that of all humans. They really do want it. They don't know that they want it. And sometimes when they fail to realize this, when we sometimes fail to realize that that's what we're really after, is true spiritual liberty, sometimes we pursue desires, sinful desires, which are often misunderstandings or misuses of natural desires. Natural desires that everybody has that are given to us by God can sometimes be misused and misunderstood. Well, these natural desires, when they're not under the control of the Holy Spirit, can easily become the playground of the sin nature, the fallen human nature, what it calls in this passage as the sinful nature. We live in two worlds. We live in a natural world, physical world, material world, with all of our biology and all the things that go along with that, and also in all the social things that go along with that. But also we live in a spiritual world. We are body-spirit beings. We are an amalgamation of the two. So we live in those two worlds simultaneously. But one of the things about the natural life always ends in death. We look at that and we say, yeah, well, my natural life will come to an end. I'll eventually die. And that tells us something about where our priorities should be. Our priorities should be in investing our natural life here on earth with our spiritual life in control to guide that life. We must let the Holy Spirit establish in our hearts and to nurture and to build up and to strengthen our spiritual life so that we can live our natural lives with its natural desires, and we can live those out in a way that's like life and peace, as it says here. Well, St. Francis de Sales, one of the mystic writers, monastic people in the Catholic Church, he wrote this. He said, "Liberty of spirit consists in keeping the heart totally disengaged from every created thing in order that it may follow the known will of God." A life that's, in this verse of Scripture says, controlled by the Spirit. A life that's controlled by the Spirit must first be detached from the natural life and then be reattached in a way where the spiritual life that God has put in us by the Holy Spirit, that part of us is in control. That part of us is being the guiding factor of our lives. So, what does this spiritual liberty really mean? Or what does it look like? Well, the person who enjoys true spiritual liberty is no longer dominated, is no longer in bondage to the body's natural longings or natural hungers. Now, physical hunger is important to stay alive so that we eat, but it can be tyrannical. It can be, just cannot keep my hands off that chocolate. You know, seize. I seize your chocolate and I seize it. I have a seizure every time. I pick that chocolate. If it's your chocolate, I seize it. Well, you know, there's things like that where we actually can lead to gluttony if we don't watch ourselves. We can just open a little. I'll have a few chips. And in a few minutes, open the bag and upside down, the chips are gone. And when the chips are down, the weight is up. Yeah. And there's another one too. She who triple dips her chips sends the weight from lips to hips. Yeah. Oh, I gotta quit. But it can be tyrannical. Hunger, physical hunger, can be tyrannical. The body says, I want. And the spirit says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, that's important. Most of us aren't too troubled by this, but in this world, sexual desire is a biggie. It's a real big thing. It's always in the news. There's always something about it. Sexual desire is a blessing in marriage, but it can be bondage in promiscuity. And that's what happens in our world today. Marital love is using physical affection to celebrate a lifelong commitment of mutual caring. But sexual lust is misusing someone's body for self-gratification with no concern about a lifelong commitment or a loving commitment. So living in accordance with the Spirit brings bodily needs and desires into subjection to God's original design. And that's why it says in 1 Corinthians 13, or 1 Corinthians 10, 31, so whatever you do, or whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. That puts it back into submission to the Holy Spirit. Hungers are thereby spared from becoming sinful avenues leading to bondage. And then the person who truly enjoys spiritual liberty is no longer sinfully driven by the soul's natural longings. Just driven, you know. Some God-given aspirations, they're given by God, they can turn into compulsions. They start out as aspirations that can be godly, but they turn into compulsions. Like, I want my privacy. I want my privacy. Well, okay. God wants us to spend times alone in our closet in prayer. Things where we withdraw from society, that kinds of things. I want my privacy could be I want some privacy, but that I want my privacy. That's a little attitude thing that can turn into isolationism, where the person isolates themselves and really doesn't want to deal with any kinds of relational problems because they're out there, you know. And the cure for that is the wise exhortation in Hebrews 10:25 that says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And that's why I say when we come together, we should be having something to share. We should try, what can I bless everyone with that I got a blessing with this week? So that's why we need to encourage one another. It shouldn't be just from me encouraging everybody. Sometimes I need some encouragement. So I need to hear from you too. Okay, so I want my privacy. No, we need to also have our privacy when it's time and then have our fellowship and fellowship with the world. And there's some other aspirations, like a thirst for knowledge. Now, thirst for knowledge can become a liability. It sure did for Adam and Eve. You know, their thirst or hunger for knowledge, it became a liability for them. Curiosity about gossip. You're curious. Someone's talking about something, your ears prick up. You're curious to find out what's going on. That can be a dangerous thirst. You know, we say curiosity killed the cat. Well, some people are in danger of using up all nine lives. Did you get that one? You shouldn't be curious about gossip, because the more you hear, the more you're responsible for. You really are, and you have to sometimes hear things, and then you're responsible to not say anything about it, and then, or you'll be tempted to be a gossip yourself. Then there's media. Oh, media can dominate your lives. Used to be just the newspaper, or just maybe a television. Now it's internet. It's the radio while you're in the car, or it's all out there. And there's YouTube that has everything that you can find. Sometimes it's helpful to find things you want to find, but then you get interested and you've used up your whole day looking at a whole bunch of interesting things, and it dominates us. And long ago Solomon said, of making many books, there is no end. And here's the problem. We can't absorb and digest all the information out there. We can't. We have a limitation. We say, our eyes are bigger than our stomach, and so we fill up a plate, and we can't eat it. We better not. And that's what happens with our lives. Our interests are bigger than our lives. And when our interests are bigger than our lives, it should tell us something. This isn't it. This life is going to end. Our interests show that our eternal soul has a lot to learn, and we can't all do it down here. So we can set some things aside and find out by the Holy Spirit where God wants us to put our priorities with our time and our energy, our desire to know. And then there's a desire for esteem, a desire for worldly praise. That can be a pitfall. Seeking everybody's praise, first of all, you're not going to get it. If you try to get everybody to praise you, you're not going to get it. Or people that pat you on the back, they're not all going to do it. Some are going to resist you, whatever. But seeking everybody's praise is sort of a silly thing. It's useless in a way, because what we really need is to seek God's well done. We say, at the end of our lives, it won't matter what people said about us, whether they esteemed us or praised us, that will not matter. But this will matter. Either God says, well done, or depart from me. And, well done. We want the well done. And that's what we want. We don't want God's esteem. Living in accordance with the Spirit comes with an automatic test question. And this test question is like this. Since time is limited, is this where God wants me? Is this what I should be learning about? Is this whom I should try to be pleasing? That's like a test question for all of our activities down here. The person who enjoys true spiritual liberty is no longer sinfully bound to natural loyalties. And you say, well, wait a minute. Natural loyalties are good. Yeah, they all are good. Natural loyalties in life are good. But to be bound to them in a sinful way, that can be a problem. That's problematic. Excessive loyalty to parents can damage a marriage. And some people have found that out. They are loyal to their parents, and they have let that impinge on the loyalty that is due to their mate. Overprotective loyalty of children can actually, as they grow older, can actually hinder them from their journey towards responsible adulthood, of being responsible adults. And some people continue this. They think it's loyalty, but it's really codependence, and it's really actually hindering them, handicapping them from reaching full adulthood and responsibility. An excessive loyalty to close friends can keep us from a larger community of friends if we just want to stay with those people and not reach out to others. So our loyalties must be managed. We can have a narrow, we're talking about independence and patriotism and those kinds of things. We must be careful, because if we narrow our loyalty just to our own country, then that can keep us from seeing God's larger picture for His kingdom throughout the whole world. That's why Christians should always be interested in and praying for missions, reaching out to others, other lands that have not heard God's message. So living in accordance with the Spirit establishes loyalty to God as the top priority, and then it sets all the other loyalties in order. And that's what's important. We want those other things. We want those natural desires in our lives to be set in order. The person who enjoys true spiritual liberty is free from sinful attitudes toward natural duties. There are just things like, there's a kind of a bondage. That's, it's an I don't want to attitude. I don't want to. Well, it may be an aversion to certain tasks, you know. Oh, that's beneath me to do that. That's beneath me. Well, that's not the attitude of freedom in Christ, because we are, in our freedom, we are servants, God's servants. There is joy in, you know that song? There is joy in serving Jesus as I journey on my way. Joy that fills my heart with praises every hour and every day. Every hour and every day being a servant? Well, God is our servant. He washed our feet. He continues to wash our feet. He continues to serve us every single day. And He calls us, follow me, so we can be servants as well. There might be an aversion to certain people. We just don't click. Or, you know, they're not my type. You know? And this is a kind of a bondage as well. And freedom from this bondage is in seeing other people as God does, with supernatural love that comes from the Holy Spirit. Supernatural love. And that supernatural love will overlook the imperfections that have made us sort of say, I don't want to have anything to do with those people, you know? Living in accordance with the Spirit curbs our sinful resistance with a holy, unrestrained flexibility of mind. Psalm 51 says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Really, to sustain our whole natural life, because we need that willingness to reach out the way that God wants us to reach out when we have a natural duty to do so, but we have an inclination that's sinful. Oh, just want to stay to myself and not, I don't like to do that kind of thing, when we are really servants, called to be servants. The person who enjoys true spiritual liberty is free from sinfully enforcing their natural tendencies on others. Now, I'm going to sort of deal with these in way of questions. And they're almost like rhetorical questions, but listen to these questions. Natural tendencies that we might want to sinfully enforce on others. Do we insist on having everything done in our way, on our time schedule, and by our standards? We insist on it. Everything done that way, okay? Or do we make allowances for others who differ from us? Are we tolerant of some of the things that are different from us? Are we in the habit of being critical, fault-finding, complaining? Yes, David. Where is it? Yeah, that's me sometimes. Critical. Got to be careful. At work sometimes I said, am I complaining too much? You know, they say, oh no. I said, I think I am. I think I'm complaining too much. Living in accordance with the Spirit. What it does, it sets our personal views, how we view life, our tendencies, our personal views and our preferences aside for the sake of others. And this is what Philippians 2, when it talks about the Spirit of Christ, says this. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only on his own interests, but also on the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Wow. We could go on, you know, and I think that really, these natural desires and natural tendencies, I've only scratched the surface. There's a whole bunch of other things. I think I hit the major areas. But we could go on investigating other areas of where our natural desires and our dispositions become exploited by our sinful nature. And they, what God meant to be good, we end up a playground for the sin nature, our fallen human nature. But the important thing is to remember that living in the Spirit liberates us from bondage to sinful desires. Living in the Spirit liberates us from the bondage of sinful desires. God wants us to be fully alive. He wants us to be fully blessed. He wants us to be fully free. And that's what verse 6 says. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. God gives us the Holy Spirit to guide the navigation of our earthly natural life on a daily basis. Every single day. It's not just one time. Oh, now we're set in the direction. And now I'm always going in that direction. Do you know what happens? We go in that direction and then all of a sudden we seem to be get lazy and turn back and go towards the sinful nature. Well, God wants us on a daily basis to put our natural desires, our natural tendencies, our natural aspirations and hungers and longings and things we want in the natural life, good things that God has given to us, He wants us to put those at the disposal of God, our spiritual lives, at the disposal of our spiritual lives. Praying to know God's will, and then submitting to it when He tells you. Sometimes that's through the Bible, sometimes that's through your conscience, sometimes that might be through an exhortation from a friend that sees something in your life and says something about it. But praying to know God's will and then submitting to it are what living in the Spirit is supposed to look like. And when we do it, it's our best advertisement for others to come to the salvation and discover Jesus Christ. Discover the salvation in Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for Your great love to us, that You have given us Your Spirit so that we can live our lives the way that You lived Your life when You became a human being and lived on earth, totally submitted to the Holy Spirit. We would like that in our lives, Lord, because we know that is true life and peace. So we ask, Father God, that on a daily basis we might pray to know Your will, that we might listen with our hearts so we can be sensitive to Your will and submit to it, so that we can be an example to others and draw them to the knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that in His name. Amen.